Growing in grace, we have two foundational scriptures. Anybody remember what they are? The first one's in 2 Peter 3. It's 3:17-18. And Amplified reads like this: "Therefore, let me warn you, beloved, knowing these things beforehand, be on your guard so that you are not carried away by error of unprincipled men who distort doctrine and fall from your own steadfastness of mind, knowledge, truth, and faith. But grow. And then in brackets, the Amplified has spiritually mature in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, honor, majesty, splendor, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. But grow. It's an exhortation that Peter has given us. Grow. We know that you may be confronted with all these other things. He says unprincipled men. He talks about being on your guard. You know that men may distort doctrine. He wants us to grow. I believe in growing, we can not be caught up with these things, the error of men who distort the truth and who keep us from our steadfastness in God. And also, he wants, I believe, us to grow in steadfastness. The pastor's been teaching us on Psalms 119, which is talking about the word, God's law and precepts. How, you know, the scripture that stands out right now is the one that says he hid the word of God in his heart so that he wouldn't sin. He grabbed a hold of that word so that he could guard himself. He grabbed a hold of the word so he wouldn't rush out into despair or into fear or any of those dreadful things. He held on to the word of God. So God wants to grow and maybe teach us how to do that a little better. The other scripture is kind of long. I won't read it all, but maybe I will. The other scripture, so the first scripture is 2 Peter 3:17-18, where it talks about us growing up in the Lord, but grow. Let me get over there in my Bible. So I have been... I think I told you guys I'm writing this in a book form, and I am through, I believe, that which all God wanted me to put into this volume. It is now in the hands of the reviewers and the editors, renowned and faithful, hardworking people of God, Sherry Carr and Shauna Carr. They are faithfully editing the work that God has given me. All right. I wanted to find the 2 Peter 3. Most of you have a version that reads, you know, different than mine, of course, because I'm in the Amplified. Did I say that right? 2 Peter 3:17. That don't seem right, does it? I'm in 2 Peter. Oh. I read 17 verse. "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace." I wanted to put that part in there, growing grace, because, you know, it separates it in the Amplified with spiritual, being spiritually mature. Grow in grace. So grow in the ability that God has given us. Grow in grace. In Ephesians, the second introduction to this series that we're doing, this journey that we're in, Ephesians 4:11-16, Amplified reads, "And his gifts to the church were varied, and he himself appointed some as apostles, special messengers, representatives, some as the prophets who speak a new message from God to the people, some as evangelists who spread the good news of salvation, some as pastors and teachers to shepherd and guide and instruct And he did this to fully equip and perfect the saints, God's people, for works of service to build up the body of Christ, the church. He gave these gifts to fully equip us. Now, this is Jesus. I don't think he meant that haphazardly. This is Paul, or the Spirit of God speaking through Paul, I should say. And we believe it's the word of God that comes from, an inspired word comes from God, right? So he's telling us he wants us to be fully equipped. He don't want us to have anything left out of in our equipping, right? Fully equipped and perfect the saints that these teachers and these prophets and evangelists have been given to us, these men of God who come in to exhort us and to help us to learn more about Jesus. Until we all reach oneness in the faith and in knowledge of the Son of God, growing spiritually, there it is again, to become a mature believer, reaching to the measure of the fullness of Christ, manifesting his spiritual completeness and exercising our spiritual gifts in him. You know, so when Jesus went to the cross, he said, "It is finished." What did he say was finished? I believe the completion of us being the church. He did his part. So that then now it's up to us to result what he finished, if you want to look at it that way. Spiritual brethren, growing spiritually to become a mature believer, reaching to the measure of the fullness of Christ, manifesting his spiritual completeness, and exercising our spiritual gifts in unity, that we are no longer children, spiritual immature, tossed back and forth like ships on a stormy sea, carried about by every wind of shifting doctrine, by the cunning and trickery of unscrupulous men, by the deceitful scheming of people ready to do anything for personal profit, but speaking the truth in love in all things, both our speech and our lives expressing his truth, let us grow up in all things into him, following his example, who is the head, Christ. From him, the whole body, the church, in all its various parts, joined and knitted firmly together by whatever joint supplies, when each part is working properly, causes the body to grow and mature, building itself up in unselfish love. So we get this picture from these two scriptures of growing. God wants us to grow. You and I can grow far beyond probably what we think right now or how we are right now. There are things that I believe that God has put in his word for each of us. And what I did in the book is God gave me this kind of pattern. You know, we become newborn babes right at first when we were first saved. And from newborn babes, we grow into people with childlike behavior and spiritually. And from there, we grow from being children into young adults, or young women, men and women. And from there, we grow into adults or mature spiritually, men and women. So we have this kind of a pattern of development that I believe God has put in his word for us to receive. As you study his word, that's what I believe he's doing. I believe that's what the Holy Spirit is getting us into, that we have in these different places the ability to grow and become that which God has wanted us to be. So we've already gone through newborn babes, not a whole lot in the Word of God concerning newborn babes, but Paul gives us some insight about newborn babes. The lot of his word, his epistles, talks to children, and that's where we are now. We're still in that stage of children, and we've already talked about one big part of being a child is understanding and knowing that we've been translated into the kingdom of God, understanding that the kingdom of God is part of who we are, part of what the principles of God that he's given us work in his kingdom. The Bible gives a lot about his kingdom because Jesus said what? He said, "I've come to preach the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven." That's what he did when he was here on the earth those 3.5 years in his ministry. He was preaching that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, is here now. So a lot of what we know and understand as children is about being in the kingdom. From there, God took us on to Galatians, where we learned about the fruit of the flesh. I didn't concentrate on the fruit of the flesh because I think a lot of time we, most of us, know about what sins and how our flesh and passions and our senses work against us a lot of times to bring us into sin. And then he had us focusing on the fruit of the Spirit. And he had me go through each one of those that were listed there in Galatians 5:23. So we did. We got through all of those all the way through. Hallelujah. He said, oh, are we going to do that again? No, we're not going to do that again. I know I learned some things doing that. So I'm into the electronics today, and I believe everything is going to be all right. Come on. All right. So I have written most of this online in Google Docs. So I have a Google Docs here pulled up on my iPad, and we're going to go through here to the next step after the fruit of the Spirit. Part of the fruit of the Spirit was the heading there was what? Walking in the Spirit. From the kingdom of God, understanding the kingdom of God, we went to walking in the Spirit. From there, we went into the fruit of the Spirit. Because in order to walk in the Spirit, you have to have the fruit, right? We learned that the fruit is given to us. It's part of who God has made us. We don't have to conjure it up. We don't have to work it up. We all just have to believe and call on it when we need it. And it comes right with the grace that God has given us. So you will know that you're walking in the Spirit of God if the fruit of the Spirit is being exhibited from you. So do you want to know that that's what it is? Do you want to know that when you're operating in gentleness or faith or goodness, those things, I believe, are readily available to us, and we do those things readily. We don't label them as that. We don't go through life and, Brian gets up in the morning and looks at Becky and goes, hey, I'm going to exhibit some meekness today for you. Here comes my meekness. We don't really do that, do we? Eric doesn't look at Brittany and go, Brittany, my peace be upon you. It just sort of just comes, right? It just comes out. And I think that sometimes if you want to, and if you don't have any issue with this, or if you think that maybe I'm not walking in the Spirit, give the Holy Spirit a shout out and say, Holy Spirit, let me know when these things are flowing from me, so that you can know that you have at least advanced in this part of your spiritual walk, right? And you're prepared now to go on to some more. There are some other things. I'm going to give you now some more characteristics of childlike behavior, spiritually children. And then some things that stand out, that stood out to me as I was studying this. The first one is children are obedient. As a child of God, one of the things that we have as part of our spiritual armor or our spiritual makeup, is we are obedient. Children are obedient through the Word of God, tells us. Obedience is one of the foremost characteristics of all Christians, really. However, we to be obedient to the Word is something we must master at the start of our Christian walk. There are many scriptures that talk about obedience. I'm going to give you a few here. 1 John 5 and 2. By this we know without any doubt that we love the children of God, expressing that love when we love God and obey his commandments. Children are obedient. 1 Peter 1:13, First Peter 1:13-16. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which have called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Revelations 12:17, and I just picked a few of the scriptures that talk about obedience. And here's one. Revelations 12:17. So the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went off to wage war on the rest of her children, the rest of the seed, those who keep and obey the commands of God and have the testimony of Jesus, holding firmly to it and bearing witness to him. So you see here that in the end time here, this dragon, he's going to war wage against God's children. And it says he knows that these are God's children because they keep and obey the commandments of God. So children are obedient. And flowing right from there, they obey whom? They obey God. And plus, the word talks about the children obey their parents. Godly children are a joy to their parents, for they are grateful for being brought into the world and then raised by them. Children are obedient and not rebellious towards their parents. In Ephesians, we are told to honor our parents so our lives may be extended on the earth. Ephesians 6:1-3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So as a child of God, one of your spiritual characteristics is to obey and to obey your parents. To obey the word of the Lord, to obey God's commands, to obey your parents. Colossians 3:20 also talks about, let me read Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And then we see that again in Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Now, honoring your parents is one of the Ten Commandments, delivered unto Moses by God. So know, in this regard, Exodus 20:12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth. I mean, he even put it as one of the Ten Commandments. So obedience is really something that we know that we should be walking in as children of God, obeying God's word and obeying our parents. It's something that he explicitly talks about. Amen? So, let me just give you this one scripture that talks about what happens to the children of disobedience, those who disobey God and his word. In Ephesians 5:3-6, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named among you as becoming saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. So there's a stark difference. I mean, almost, black and white, if you want to say. People who are obedient to God are being blessed and walking in God's grace, his blessings, his prosperity. Being disobedient to God brings the wrath of God, brings those things that are not what we want to happen in our lives. If we look at ourselves and begin to see that we're privy to destruction, adversity, and calamity. We know that those things come not because we are disobedient, but they can come because we are disobedient. because we're walking not in the path that God is assigned us. I had this picture. You know, the Bible tells us that the pathway to righteousness is narrow. It's a narrow way. It's not, it's as wide as the what? The path of destruction is wide. So there's a lot of places you can get off on, right? But people sometimes who are saved are walking on the narrow path, and then they just slip off. And they may even have one leg up on the highway and one leg down on the in the darkness off the narrow path. And they wonder why, what's going on? Well, you can't really walk like that, you know, your leg up on the highway and one down in the dumps or in the darkness. But because you're near the path where the light is, sometimes you think it's okay because you can see the light. And you get this feeling that, oh, I'm okay, I'm close to the light. I made up my mind, you made up your own way. We talked about this on Wednesday, about having your own understanding of spiritual things. I made up my own, this is the way I believe God wants me to go, and you slipped off of the path. Because God's way is a narrow way. He says you've got to be obedient to his word. And maybe you don't want to be obedient at that particular moment. Maybe you want to satisfy yourself with things that you go in your own way. Well, God says I need to do this, but I'm just going to modify that just a little bit. I'm not going to do exactly what he tells me. I'm just going to maybe do half of it and then put my own stuff on it on this side. And we do that as people. And we don't want to at first admit that until we get so far down the road, right, and something happens, and we go, well, what's happening? Then God has to reveal to you that, well, you had one leg up on the highway, but then you just kind of slipped off on this side and decided that you wanted to go and do something your own way. What might that be? What might that look like? Well, I wanted to say something that God told me not to say. I wanted to go somewhere where God didn't want me to go. True, right? God told me, well, I want you to give to this man $10, and you said you want to give $5. I mean, come on. Why do we make those decisions? It's a thousand upon thousands of reasons why we do stuff like that. I want you to give this away. I want you to give this thing away. I want you to give it to this person. Any of you ever had that happen to you? Happens to Sherry all the time. Most of the time she wants to, he tells her to give my stuff away. And I'm glad she's very obedient when he Oh my goodness. I don't know if I told y'all this. I used to have some shirts that I like to wear. I just liked them. They were nice. They were plaid. Everybody know that? Well, most of y'all probably know what plaid is. They were plaid shirts, and they were light. I just loved. I wore them to work. I wore them home. They were just nice shirts. I was, man, that's great. Had nice shirts. So I went to the daycare to pick up my children one afternoon. As I stepped in to get them, they were cleaning up. They were just had an event or a little artwork they were doing. And I looked around the room, and they were all kind of gathering their stuff in their papers. And I looked around and said, oh, man, hey, that guy's got a shirt like me on. They were using these shirts as smocks, paint team socks, right? And I said, hey, I got that shirt. I got that shirt, too. Oh, look at that. I got that shirt. Then it dawned on me. Those are my shirts. She had given my shirts to the daycare, and they were using them as painted spots. And I remember standing there going, I guess I didn't need them shirts anymore. I remember going home and telling her this. I said, honey, I like those shirts. She said, I know you did. I said, you knew I liked it. She said, I didn't like them. So... Anyway, we digress. We need to be obedient, amen. We need to do those things that God tells us. And I want to when he's as children of God, right? You know, if you can put yourself in a father son or a mother daughter relationship, or you put yourself in there, where you all have fathers and mothers, and at some point in your relationship with them, they said to do something, and you didn't want to do it. Yes? Can you remember? You want to forget those times, because sometimes we did that, and I remember the consequences was not very good. You know, when we realized that I disobeyed what my father was asking me to do. And he was asking out of the goodness of his heart, or out of his responsibility, or his authority, or his place in my life, to do so. He had a right to ask me to do whatever this particular thing anyway. And I decided that I didn't want to do that. I want to do something else. And, you know, we grow up as, you know, children and teenagers, we get to that point where we just like, I ain't going to pay attention to that. I'm going to go over here and do this. And, of course, we receive the results of that. It may not come immediately, but eventually it does. Come the fact that you were disobedient, and this decision that you decided to make brought some kind of detriment to your life. And however small, it always brought, you know, some kind of way that you could point out that, oh man, I shouldn't have did that, or I shouldn't have said that, or I shouldn't have gone that way. I should have stood at my ground and go, okay, let me just go ahead and do what he says. Because if I honor him, the Bible says, it's going to be long, well with me. I'm going to be blessed. Even if I decide not to do the thing that I want to do. And God always gives us room for what we want in the right time, in the right space. We wait, if we're doing what God tells us to do on the other side and it doesn't allow us to do what we want, eventually we will get to the place, because God wants to bless us too, right? We'll get to a place where he'll say, okay, now it's okay for you to do this. Now it's okay for you to say this, or now it's okay for you to go this route or take on this new activity. It's so easy to move away from the mark. It's so easy to be distracted. As children, it tells us, don't be, you know, you can be tossed to and fro by, don't be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You know, the wind blows, shoo, turns your face, oh, look at that, that's so beautiful, it's so wonderful. But yet, it turns you off of looking at Jesus. He wants you to look at him, because he has everything for you already worked out, already patterned out, already protected, already under the blood. He has it all straightened out for you. But we'll decide, because I'm smart, I went to school, I got a master's and a doctorate degree, I won't do this. My intelligence is telling me that the rationale and the reasoning of the Bible doesn't work. That gets us in real big trouble. We have to understand that God's principles for our life, regardless of how much it butts up against our natural intellect or ability or reasoning, is always right. You can say that about God. Can't say that about myself. Can't say that about you. But God is always right. Always. And if we follow after him, we're going to go in the right way, in the right direction. Amen? Children, so we know children should be obedient. Be obedient. Or children are obedient. So if I'm a child of God, I'm going to be obedient. So if I'm acting in disobedience, then I need to work on coming up to growing up to being a child of God. Children are humble. And this is an interesting thing that I believe that God has given us, characteristic. It's easy for a child to exhibit this behavior because they are small. You know, children are small in stature, and they're vulnerable. They have a need for someone to take care of, feed them, and clothe, and shelter them. This is talking about the natural children. They are still learning about life in general. They are under authority of others. They have to learn their environment, their culture, their society. They're still learning. Children need protection, right, from the forces. And they gain a lot of this knowledge and understanding and protection from their parents most of the time. In Matthew 18:4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And this humility and this humbleness, I think, lends itself to learning the word of God. That when we're humble, when you're learning something, it is a very humble task, right? Or it's a humble thing when you have to sit and understand what's going on around you. This humility of children to want to learn. It's okay. We don't have to know everything. And it's okay as children to go to the Word of God to gain, as we talked on Wednesday, understanding, wisdom and knowledge from God. That just shows forth that I'm a child of God. I am exhibiting this behavior because I am a child. And I should never put myself in a place where I am not under the humility of learning about God. I don't want to ever say that I know everything. I know it all. I don't need it for anybody to teach me. I don't need for especially the spirit of truth. I don't need the spirit of truth to teach me. What does the spirit of truth know? I can't even see him. He gonna teach me what? To gain understanding or even a place where you put yourself to be humble. You know, we talked about that, right? Spending time with God, meditating on the word. That's a key characteristic of being a child of God. Not shirking away from gaining and understanding God's word. Even after you read the Bible 20 times. Know where all the scripture is. You can quote a whole lot of stuff. Even after that, still being able to, I need to understand God, what's happening. And to listen to him. Amen? Let me give you this one more scripture about teaching. Well, we know this scripture, 2 Timothy 3:14-17. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. Look at that. Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Then the next verse, verse 16, we all know. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And I want to point out here, you know, when I began to study this, there's something that God pointed out to me. When he said all scripture, you can use this scripture. And he said, you can use this scripture, which is inspired by God, right? You can get doctrine from this scripture. You can get reproof from this scripture. You can get corrected from this scripture. And you can get instruction in righteousness. How many of you know how to be righteous? That question came to me. How do you be righteous? Well, the Bible tells us that we have been made righteousness, right? But then he says, I want to instruct you in righteousness. So there must be some characteristics or tasks that goes along with being a righteous person. With behaving righteously. Not in my own self, not in my own righteousness, but in the righteousness that he's made me. He says, I'm going to instruct you in that. I'm going to instruct you how to be the right kind of righteous. Not being self-righteous, but being godly righteous. Because Jesus has made us that. In him, I become righteousness. And I do know, and I do need to know, how to be that. How to not allow external circumstances come into my life to cause me not to be righteous or not to behave righteously. You know, you can behave unrighteously. When you argue with your spouse or your children or your loved ones or relatives, do you consider that to be an unrighteous act or a righteous act? I'm going to let you mull that one over a little bit. Because it's important, right? Because God has already made us righteous, but yet our behavior is going to exhibit something else that's not righteous. And why you don't want me to argue with my wife? Why you don't want me to argue with my husband? Why? Well, the Bible tells us there are certain things that will keep us from the prosperity God wants us to have, the blessings that God has, if we are in contention, not only with our spouses, but with one another. There's a way in which we can agree and disagree in righteousness. The Bible can instruct us on that. And we need to understand that. We need to grow into that. Amen? We need to be as children, understand that. Because the enemy of our faith wants to drag us down to the dirt, and he'll use any simple thing, any trick, to get us off of the Word of God and draw us down in the wrong path. That's what he is. That's what he does. Okay, so there's obedience, there's humbleness, right, that we talked about as children. The next one I'm going to go, and I'll end with this one, is children behave like children. Oh, that's a good one. Because being a child of God and being spiritually as a child of God, there's some good things for us to behave like as children. But remember now, we know we're still as children. We're not grown up yet. We want to grow up. But while we're children, we do want to behave like children. I think that's one of the, I don't know, maybe it's a conundrum kind of thing, where the church, you know, today, I think, is at this level as being a child. They haven't grown up. They still do some things. They still fight. They still bicker. We still point fingers and so forth and so on. But we don't want to be that. We want to, as a church, as a whole church universal, we want to grow up. We want to be what God says, grow up into this perfect picture of him. Right? We don't want to continue to behave, continue to point fingers. And I believe when the churches, you know, whatever denominations they may be, stop pointing fingers at each other and start realizing how alike we are. We may not agree on every point, but when we stop being contentious, because see that's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to be contentious. He wants you to be fighting and be and so much disagreement that, you know, you can't think straight and that you don't behave righteously. He wants to get you off of that. He wants to get you off of being righteous. And he can do it to a lot of us so easily. We can get so caught up into being, oh, my child is doing blah, 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 and just go, whew, just throw our hands up and just, ah! He uses that, the enemy uses that as a door into your life. Children behave like children. And, you know, that's just an exhortation to kind of let you be sober in your walk with God. Be soberly thinking. Know where you are. Okay, this is where I am in my Christian walk. And I may not have attained to blah, 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 blah yet, but I know this is where I am. At this point in my life, this is what I should be doing and understanding. And if I'm not understanding the thing that I think I should be understanding, then what should I do? I should get some instruction from the Word of God so that I can behave, right? As lots, if you got an attitude that you don't like, if you got an attitude that you've been exhibiting, that you like, I don't like when this happens, then we need to get some instruction from the Word of God to how to stop that behavior, how to get a hold of the enemy from turning that thing into something that is unrighteous, something that is not an example of Jesus Christ, and not being something that he would desire for you to do. Amen? I told you last time about, you know, how I could get a thought and sure do something, and I have a thought to say something, and the word God will come and he'll say, don't say that. And then I have to think about it, right? Why shouldn't I say it? Well, because what good would it do? It's just going to bring contention between me and her. The thing I'm going to, it's going to excite her. Not in a good way. So why say it? This process goes through my heart and mind. And then it goes, why say it? Why bring it up? When all it's going to do is cause a contention, cause an argument, say, cause a heated discussion. Just don't say it. Why do I need to say that? Why do I need to say that I don't like the way that she does certain things? Why do I need to say that? By me saying that, is it going to change the way that she does it? By me saying that, is that going to make her any more likely to love me better or more? Right? Most of the time, it's not. However, my silence has more power, I should say, than those words, because my silence, she then comes up with whatever she thought I was going to say. And because she is a woman of God, full of the Holy Spirit, it's always going to be good things. But I won't have to deal with it because I didn't say it. Right? So I live a happy life. She may have to do some work. And I want you to know something. That happens every day. Every day. Because the enemy wants to get in between. If you have a spouse, he wants to get in between that. If you have a relationship with a loved one or a child, he wants to get in between your relationships. And so he's bombarding you with all these external thoughts. They're coming from the outside. They're coming from him. He's the father of lies, and he wants to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he wants to do. And all we have to do is just stop him by not saying anything. Anyway, we digress. 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. So know where you are. When I was a child, I spake as a child. Sometimes we as a children, we want to speak like somebody else. But know where you are. Understood as a child. Thought as a child, but when I became, or when I grow up, then I put away those things. I put away the childish things. And I believe that what I just spoke to you about is a childish thing. Saying something just to irk the other person, just because I believe my opinion is more important. Whose opinion is more important? God's opinion is more important. Amen? Now listen to here. Sometimes, in those situations when you think that your spouse is not behaving godly and you want to then speak the word because the truth will correct them, you don't do that until the Spirit of God says so. If you do it just because you know the word, oh, she's acting like this and I should tell her this, then you are acting not according to the Spirit of truth. You are acting out of your own guidance because you think that that's, oh, she needs this. She needs this word. I got to give it to her. Under the unction of the Holy Spirit, yes. But make sure that that's it. Because you say something, even if it's the word, I'm telling you, you're bringing in, you're allowing the enemy to show up as an angel of light, to bring a half-truth to you, and then mess things up for you and your spouse, or whoever it is that you're being in contention with. That is not what God desires. 1 Corinthians 14:20 says, brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be children, but in understanding be men. In malice be children. In malice. Malice is behaving just like I just showed you. I'm going to behave unscrupulously, unprincipled. I'm going to behave in my own self, by my own way. I'm going to go ahead. It's almost time for us to go. And God told me to do this, and I just want to do it, but I struggled with it because it was something really personal that me and Sherry went through in our lives. But I want to share it with you just because God told me to share it. For real, that's really the only reason why I want to share it. Because I grew up not in a, my father wasn't a pastor or minister. He wasn't even saved. He did go to church, but he didn't marry my mom. My mom went to church. She was saved. but the Baptist church was a lot of traditions of men. You know, the Spirit was not really utilized or seen in the church. So I grew up in a struggle kind of way. And so when my dad wasn't always available when I was growing up. We were latchkey kids coming home from school. We were told to stay in the house until an adult came before we could go outside after school. And it was few and far between. So when I grew up and became a man and got married and then had children, I was void of, okay, what should I do raising this child that was born? And my first child, Wim, it was a very traumatic experience. so anyway, we bring this little baby home, and you know, it's my responsibility. They send you home, I think it was after 2 days. They give you a steak dinner and you got the papers and then off you go. And you know, you have this life in front of you. I was 20, how old was I? 28. I was 28. I was 28 years old. Right, 1989. I was 28. And so it was just a very new thing of, oh, it's my responsibility. And there's no instruction book. There was nobody sit me down. There was no parenting classes, you know, that I could take at the time. There were books that were out, and those were they tended to be very academic, the books that were out at the time. So what am I going to do? So I'm saved. I'm getting up. At that time, I was getting up at 5 a.m. and praying and, you know, reading my word before going to work. And so the Spirit of God spoke to me, and he said, I want you, he led me to that scripture in Proverbs. It says, train up a child in the way he should go. I can't remember, I can't even quote it now. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. Right? So the way we train up children, what? It's through the word of God. We give them the word, and I hear so many good testimonies from the fathers in this church who are doing that with their kids today. But this is what he told me. He said, you need to put the word in them. Get the word in them. I said, well, how do I do that? He said, they need to memorize the word or make a confession of the word of God. So I started, Wim was 5 years old when I started. And I began to, at night, my job as the person who I worked all day. And so I came home and relieved Sherry. You know, she went somewhere and I took care of the kids at night. I bathed them and put them to bed. That was my job. And I loved it, every minute of it, because I couldn't be with them all day. I left them in the morning and then I was gone. So the only time I really got to see them was at home. And so anyway, I enjoyed it. So at night, before they went to bed, I would, we're gonna make a confession. And then God started giving me this word. And I wanna read it to you today. It's quite long. I did it a step at a time, one scripture at a time, one phrase at a time. When it was five, when Wim was five, Joe was three. So he was listening as Wim was doing this. And so he then picked it up. When he turned four, Joseph turned four, Wim was six. Shauna was two. She was listening and began to repeat the words that her brothers were saying at night before I had all four of them in the room right before bed, and they would then repeat this. And when they were smaller, up until about, I want to say teenagers, you know, when they got to high school, they could repeat the whole thing. I'm going to read it to you now, what it is. We called it Mighty Man. I'm a mighty man of faith and power, a disciple taught of the Lord. I walk in love, power, and a sound mind without fear. I serve God with all my heart, and my heart follows after the will of God. I honor my mother and father and those adults in authority with obedience, so my days will be long upon the earth. Can you imagine a five-year-old repeating this? We did one phrase for a week, and after that week, I wanted them to repeat it without reading it, and they were way ahead of me. Way ahead. It took them no time to start saying these phrases. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, ability, wisdom, and prosperity. I believe in him. Therefore, I speak to circumstances. They obey the word of God. I live because he lives in me. And because I know him, we do great and mighty exploits. No weapon formed against us will prosper. And every tongue that rises up against us, he shall show to be in the wrong. Each scripture God gave me each one. Every time they would recite one and they'd have it, he'd give me the next one and I would just write it down and we'd go to confessing. I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead. So I am saved. As I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, I will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. Surely he will save me from the fowler's snare and from the deadly sickness. He will cover me with his feathers, and under his wings I will find refuge. His faithfulness will be my shield and rear guard. I will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the sickness that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at my left side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it will not come near me. I will only observe with my eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. I will make the Most High God my dwelling, even the Lord my refuge, and then no harm will befall me and no disaster will come near my house. For he will command his angels concerning me. They will lift me up in their hands, so I will not strike my foot against the stone. I will tread upon the lion and the cobra. I will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him and protect him, for he acknowledges me. I will call upon him and he will answer me. He will be with me in trouble. He will deliver and honor me. With long life, he will satisfy me and show me his salvation. Anybody know what that scripture is? Psalms 91. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for he is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. He anoints my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalms 23. I have the faith of God, for surely as I say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and don't doubt in my heart, but believe those things I say shall come to pass, I will have what I say. Therefore, whatsoever things I desire when I pray, I believe that I receive them. Therefore, I have them. That's Mark 11, 22-24. I forgot to tell you, each one of these has a scripture reference. I just wasn't saying it. I'm sorry if that's okay. The thief comes but for to steal. The thief comes but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus has come that I might have life and life more abundantly. I give and it is given to me, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto my bosom. I am blessed. I'm a blessed man because I walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But my delight is in the word of the Lord, and in his word I meditate day and night. Therefore, I am like a tree planted by streams of water, bringing forth my own fruit in my season. My leaves do not wither, and whatsoever I do prospers. I trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding. In all my ways, I acknowledge him, and he directs my path. I am not wise in my own eyes. I fear the Lord and flee from evil. This brings me health to my marrow and strength to my bones. I honor the Lord with my possessions and with the first fruits of all my increase. So shall my barns be filled with plenty, and my vats will overflow with new wine. I would stand them up when they go to visit their grandparents or their cousins, whatever. I would stand them up and I say, hey, let's repeat Mighty Man. And they would recite as far as they could go, from Allen all the way up to Wim, through their teenage years. It was an amazing thing to see. It was the word operating in them. They need that, right? Because when they get older, the enemy comes and attacks. And I believe this word is able to, even when they don't even know it, because of their confession, out of their mouth, they were saying this. Out of their heart came these words. I wasn't just praying and speaking to them. They were saying them themselves. Every night, didn't miss a night. Unless I was out of town or something. I think Sherry tried to do it when I wasn't there. So very few nights that we miss, but every night they would stand. They were so excited about seeing this Mighty Man. The girls especially, because it was Mighty Man. Couldn't be a Mighty Man. And, you know, to just to know their lives, and I know that not all of them where I want them to be, and you know, I know they still have their walk with God to walk, but he reminded me of that training that I received in order to give to them, the confession of the word of God that holds your heart, that stirs up faith, right? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the. So every time they spoke, faith was being created in their heart for God's word that I believe will bring the results of the word. Amen? It is a privilege, I think, to have be given children to raise and to be given the awesome authority in which to raise them. So I had one more thing I was going to say before we close. I want to say when they all graduated from college, it was, I forget what year it was, we took this confession and we framed it and we gave it to each of our children. They have it hanging in wherever they live right now to remind them what the word was that God had given them when they were growing up. And many times they would come and they, I walked by there and they were, remember, some of them, now don't know if you go get them and ask them to recite it, they can say some of it probably. I don't know how much of it they will be able to say today. You know how we get when we don't do something repeatedly, after and after. But at that time, they could say the whole thing through and through and believe that God was getting what they needed to get. Amen?